You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, tonight we're just going to sort of take it easy, if you know what I mean. Trying to get so these headphones are reflecting what's going on over the air, but doesn't seem to be doing that. And I don't know why. Last night, I think some of you probably got a shock, and you needed it. I did that broadcast just to show you really how bad things are. The caller from the night before read the 16th Amendment to you. I read it to you. We pretended that everything with the 16th Amendment was valid and A-OK, and that you know, it was in full effect and all that kind of stuff, and the Supreme Court had not made any rulings on it. And nobody in this listening audience understood what it said or what Congress had to do to make it work if they wanted to implement. That's sad. That is a terrible, sad thing. So, and I don't like to do those kinds of broadcasts, folks. I really don't like to do it. It makes me feel bad. And I got to tell you, if that young man or middle-aged man or elderly man, I don't know how old he was, if he hadn't called in with the answer, I would have gone to bed in fear for the whole population, in fear for my children, in fear for the world, because we can't survive as a race of stupid people. We can't be a nation if the nation's populated with absolutely stupid people. It's not going to work. And you have to understand that, folks. It's not going to work. We have to be able to use our brains. We must have the power of original thought. God gave us this brain. He didn't put it in our head just to sit there and be filled with crap and bullshit and lies and all the stuff you get off that big boob tube in your living room or in your bedroom or wherever the hell it is. Some of you can't do without it. You got it in every room in your house. Now, I'll give you a piece of advice. I know most of you won't listen to me, but here's what you ought to do. If you have a small child, the smaller the better, like 2 years old, give that child a hammer and let him play with your TV set. And believe me, your whole family will be better off. And that little child will have a great time. Believe me on that, too. But you better stick around just in case, you know, you start smashing glass and you don't want the child to get cut by the glass. But, you know, just let him wreak havoc. Make sure it's not plugged in. You know, I got to tell you these things because last night proved it. You're not thinking. You'll probably give him the TV set to play with plugged in. Boy, I sure hope not. It's been real warm here lately. Last several days, it's been like beautiful spring days every day. Today was like summer. Nice and warm. It was really beautiful. Whenever it's like that, you know, I spend a lot of time outside with Crusher. Most of you know that Crusher is my dog. He's a trained protection dog. And, oh boy, is he trained. And boy, is he a protection dog. If you don't belong on this property, and you didn't let me know you were coming, you don't want to do that. You really don't want to do it. Because Crusher will just literally tear you to pieces. Not because he doesn't like you. Not because he's a mean dog, because he's not a mean dog. It's because he's trained to protect this property, my family, and he's been trained to just absolutely not like anybody else. I don't mean not like, but not pay any attention to. He won't accept food from you. He will absolutely not be nice to you. But to me and the family's not here now, but when they were here, he is the most loving, most faithful, most affectionate, most trusting and trustworthy animal that I've ever seen in my entire life. And he follows me around everywhere I go. I mean, literally everywhere. He has incredible sensory perception. By the way, we're having a little problem right now. I'm getting back into my old habit of working late into the night, which means I'm now, like I used to do, I'm getting my energy back. Like I used to do, I'm staying up till like 2 or 3 in the morning and then going to bed. Well, Crusher doesn't like that much. About 11 o'clock at night, he comes and tries to entice me to go to bed. I mean, he really tries to make me go to bed. And if I won't, then he'll go and curl up in his normal place by the bed where he sleeps every night. And I'll continue my work. And then I'll go to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning. And the Crusher has to see the sun. He has to have his walk at sunrise. And he adjusts his wake-up time depending upon when sunrise is. Like in the winter, when sunrise is late, he'll sleep late. In the summer, when sunrise is real early, he'll get up real early. Because his biological clock says he's supposed to wake up and take his walk at sunrise. And he really does watch the sunrise. And every morning I have to get up and take him out for his walk. And we sit there and watch the sunrise together. But because of that, I have not been getting a whole lot of sleep lately. And so I'm sort of trying to adjust so that I can take a little nap in the afternoon. And that kind of helps. I'm not used to doing that. And it takes away from, things in the middle of the day. But, when I really look at the middle of the day, that's when I'm sort of lazy anyway. I really do my best work in the evening and late at night. And early in the morning. Early in the morning till about noon, I'm just, working really hard. Crusher is, I got to tell you, I don't know what I would do without this dog. He is my best friend. He is absolutely dependable. He's the only dog I've ever known in my life that is so thoroughly trained that he obeys orders instantly, whatever those orders are. He knows when it's time to play, and he knows when it's time to work. And I regulate that with a collar. He has a work collar. When I put that on, he is dead serious, and he knows it's time to work. No play. When it's okay to play and go sleep in the corner, I take that collar off, and that's what he does. But he has this incredible sensory perception that I've just got to tell you about, because it's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. We have tremendous winds up here on top of this mountain. And I mean tremendous winds. Sometimes the wind blows, I know it's got to be pretty close to 100 miles an hour. And I'm not exaggerating a bit. It really does. And when it's blowing that hard, things are banging against the house. The house is creaking and groaning. The trees outside, the wind is whistling through the trees. The wind is blowing things from far away, you know, like scraps of wood and brush and tumbleweed and stuff like that up against the house. And just everything, it's just noise. It's an incredible amount of noise. And unless you've experienced it, you just really don't know and don't have any means of knowing what I'm talking about. If you've lived through a hurricane or a typhoon, then you know what I'm talking about. Crusher will sleep through all of this. It won't bother him a bit unless some human being is walking outside somewhere. He will wake up during this tremendous wind and all this noise and things banging against the house. He will wake up instantly with just one footfall. He will be wide awake. He will come to full alert. He will wake me up, and he will go to each door in the house and all the windows and check them, and he will keep doing that until whoever's walking around outside is gone. And heaven help him if I were to open the door and let him out. He would literally kill them because he's trained to do this. Now, let me give you one clue. Here's the only thing you can do to save your life with a dog that's trained like this. And you better listen to me carefully, because one of these days you may meet a dog like this. The only thing that you can do to save yourself is stand still. Don't move a muscle. Don't move a finger. Don't move your arm. The dog is trained that if you stand perfectly still, he will lie down in front of you and he will watch you. He will not hurt you. If you raise your arm to strike the dog, if you pull a gun out of your pocket or a holster, if you try to run, or if you just move fast, the dog will kill you. That's what he's trained to do. And to watch him go through his paces in training is just the most incredible thing. It's marvelous. It's also very scary. And anyone who owns a dog like this has a tremendous responsibility, because you just can't let the dog go loose. This is a dog that can't accidentally get out. Can't happen. Now, he won't hurt children of any kind, race, religion, or any. He will not hurt children, period. The dog will not hurt children. Anybody who looks like an adult, though, that's a different matter. The last time that I took a group of people to Area 51, one of the people in our group, I gave them all a lecture about the dog. I told them how to behave around the dog, what they could do and what they could not do. One of the things I told them is, don't ever let the dog see a gun in your hand. He's trained to go for you instantly if you have a gun. He will not go for me if I have a gun. But if you have a gun, he will go for you instantly if it's in your hand. If it's in a holster on your hip, he will not bother you. If it's in your pocket, he will not bother you. If it's in your hand, you're in deep trouble. You know, I made sure everybody understood this. So we went out to a place called Crystal Mountain, which is literally a mountain of quartz crystals. And we were showing them where it was so that they could gather some quartz crystals, you know, take home with them. And Crusher was on his leash, sitting by my side. The barking you hear is Crusher. Apparently there's someone outside right now. He's letting me know that. And I'm not worried about it, because if they try to get in the house, they're dead. That's all there is to it. And it might just be somebody driving by on the road. But you can hear him barking right now. this member of our party walked up to me, drew a pistol out of his belt, and said, "Bill, I brought this pistol along to show you." And before he finished that sentence, Crusher was on him. Now, I had him on a short leash, and I was holding him tight because there was a lot of people around, and I'm used to people doing stupid things around this dog. It scared him to death. He jumped back at the same time Crusher lunged, and I pulled on his leash as hard as I could. Crusher got his shirt and literally took it right off of him in a split second, so fast that hardly anybody even knew what happened. If he hadn't jumped back and I hadn't had him on a short leash, he would have been seriously injured. Seriously injured. Crusher can rip your throat wide open so quickly that there's nothing you can do about it. He can rip your arm right out of its socket. And the only thing we've never been able to train him to do is let go. He won't let go until you're perfectly still or he thinks you're dead. Even in training, we can't make him let go of anything unless the person in the suit stands perfectly still or falls to the ground and lies perfectly still like he did. Then Crusher will let go. Now, I don't know why he's like that, but he is. Which, you know, sort of gives me a real sense of security, because once he attacks somebody who's endangering my life, he's not going to get up, and he's not going to give up, and he's not going to let go. And I find that very reassuring. I also like the fact that he will not harm children, because children do the dumbest things of all around dogs. Parents don't teach their children very well. No child should ever be allowed to walk up to a strange dog. I don't care how innocent the dog looks, or how nice the dog looks, or how pretty the dog looks, or, you know, it doesn't make any difference. If that's not your dog, or your neighbor's dog, and you don't know that dog, and that dog doesn't know you, stay away from the dog, especially if you're a child. Dogs can hurt children really bad. Good evening. You're on the air.
I don't know, but there's some kind of another broadcast underneath you.
Really? What is it?
Farm noises, animal noises.
Yeah.
Now it's kids screaming.
Kids?
And I heard pots and pans.
Kids screaming?
Yeah, and there's farm animals.
Wow.
You might want to talk to BCQ. I don't know what it is.
Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Why don't you talk to BCQ?
I don't have their number.
I just talked to Alan today.
I would call them if I had their number.
Well.
But it certainly is interfering. I don't know if it's something that's coming across for me locally.
Well, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you over.
Well, then don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, it is interfering to a degree.
Yeah, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Okay, well, I thought you might like to know.
Well, but even if I know, there's nothing I can do about it.
I realize that.
Okay.
It would bother me, though, if I was trying to have a broadcast.
Well, you know, I'm used to this stuff. You know, for years, they used to jam this broadcast. I mean, seriously jam it. And once we traced it to a United States Naval Communications installation on the East Coast. I mean, we have people out there who, by the way, folks, if you're a ham operator and you have a radio direction finding capability, and we're being jammed or somebody's trying to broadcast over us, then, you know, use your RDF and find out where it's at.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Oh, and by the way, don't ever call me again unless I open the phones.
Okay?
Yep. You broke my train of thought. You busted up the program. Now I can't go back and resume it again. See what you did?
I'm terribly sorry.
And there's not a damn thing I can do. I don't take reception reports ever. Period. There's nothing I can do about it. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of air time. We've spent this last few minutes talking about it, and that's air time down the tubes, and you've broken my chain of concentration and busted up the whole show. And so, you know, I don't even know where I was at now.
God bless.
I mean, what did you think you were going to accomplish? You're going to interrupt the broadcast right in the middle of it to tell me something I can't do anything about. That's amazing. I find it absolutely amazing. Well, since I don't remember where I was at, we'll just open the phones. And we'll just let you talk about whatever you want to talk about. 520-333-4578. You know, I've said it a million times. I do not take reception reports. I do not take air checks. There's nothing I can do about it. Nothing whatsoever. I'm in Arizona. The station's in Maine. You know, it's only about the 5,000th time that I've said this. So, you know, don't even bother me with that stuff. If there's nothing I can do about it, then I don't care. 520-333-4578. We'll take your calls for the rest of the hour. Now that the show has been totally... I know I was talking about Crusher, but I don't know where I was at. I really don't. I will tell you this. If you ever in your life are lucky enough to get hold of a dog like Crusher, it will be the realization of every young boy's dream. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, sir. Something interesting just the other night, I was watching the Learning Channel, and they had a series about the Navy SEALs in Panama and Somalia and stuff, and I watched the one about Panama.
Yeah.
And either the story was totally bogus, or they were just the most absolute lame SEAL team that could be imaginable. And it reminded me of the other episode you had one night about the SEALs and all that stuff. And my gosh, I mean, if this SEAL team ever went against like a militia or something, I just feel that they would get, they wouldn't have a chance.
Well, one thing you have to remember is there's all these myths about the Navy SEALs, and it's all baloney. Navy SEALs are men just like you and I. They're not supermen. They're men just like you and I. They get tired. They forget things. They sometimes are trained wrong. Sometimes they get in situations that they can't do anything about, and they get all screwed up. It's just like any other military unit. But they have more physical and mental training than any other unit, I believe, in any of our military forces. And so are probably better able to handle whatever comes along than anybody else might be able to do. But all these myths and stuff that you guys hang on the SEAL teams, throw that crap away. They're people just like the rest of us.
I mean, so many things went wrong in this mission during the story.
That can happen. I fought in Vietnam, and I can tell you right now, things can go wrong that you never dreamed can go wrong, and all of a sudden you can find yourself in the deepest bucket of crap that you could ever imagine, and even stuff that you couldn't ever imagine in your lifetime, and if you get out of it, you're damn lucky.
Yeah, it was just really incredible just to see how they would just get thrown into a situation like that. And, I mean, it just went completely wrong from top to bottom, from beginning to end. And
Usually when that happens, it's when the government sends them on a mission that they're not trained to do, that they're not supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Well, I believe they're going to replay it again. So if you're interested, I hope to... if you can keep your eye open for it, maybe evaluate it yourself.
Oh, I've been taping all that stuff.
That's great. I really appreciate your evaluations on that kind of stuff. And
thank you.
I just wanted to let you know about it, and have a good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
The other night, I taped the one on the CIA. And the first thing the CIA guy said is the CIA is not allowed to go on operations in this country are against American citizens. That's a bold-faced lie. Ronald Reagan wrote an executive order that allows them to do it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. You're talking about Crusher reminded me of a wonderful dog I had. Wonderfully trained German Shepherd a friend had. And he had to get rid of it because he had three out of the litter, two females and a male, and the two females were fighting, and one of the females had to go. And she'd been partially attack trained, this was in L.A., and he had to get rid of her, and I had a, I was taking care of a camp up in the mountains that was being vandalized.
Uh-huh.
And she was unreal. She would be beside me wherever I was, night and day. I mean, she'd be outside the door all night. In the morning, she followed me wherever I went. Went in the building, she'd come out, and I went out a different door, she'd come out, she'd be at that door.
Yeah.
She was so smart. And she, the one time that I ever saw her in action, we'd had another dog that had never been properly trained. It was a partial Norwegian Elkhound, and it had nipped somebody at the camp, and so I tied it up. And it growled as I came near.
Uh-huh.
And Millie was there, and I just said the other dog's name very sternly, and Millie thought that was an attack command. Because this dog had nipped her ears any number of times, and she'd never responded.
So she went after the dog.
She went after that dog. It had, a, you know, 65 pounds of Shepherd, had 40 pounds of Elkhound in her mouth. And I had her collar, and I was trying to pick her up, and I was picking up both dogs.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that dog was something absolutely amazing. At one time, I had her on a 120-foot lead across an open area that had been vandalized, because we had a building down there that was on a 40-acre camp up in the mountains above San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
She was keeping three coyotes away from her food by herself. And then a week or so later, somebody came in there and shot her with a shotgun.
Oh, no.
And I came and I found her. And when I came over there, she saw me, and she got up and she crawled into the van. And I picked the pellets out of her, and she recovered.
Who shot her? Did you ever find that out?
I never found out. I wish I had.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine how sick somebody would have to be to come into somebody's camp?
Well, they would have to, if anybody did that to Crusher, they'd better pray every night of their life that they killed him and that I never find out who they are.
Right.
Because if they didn't kill him and I ever find out who they are, the dog's going to get his day in court.
Right.
And I'm going to make sure of it.
Yeah. But this dog, absolutely, totally obedient. And that reminds me, when you were talking about Crusher, boy, oh boy, I wish I had a dog like that again.
Yeah, that's Crusher all the way. He's also absolutely silent at night. He will not make a noise when we patrol the perimeter. And he will obey hand signals. Of course, there has to be some moonlight to see the hand signals, but he will obey hand signals either in daylight or in moonlight. When it's totally dark, we have some signals that I can give him, but the only thing that I can do is, you know, like I can touch him in certain ways, and he will sit or he will lay down. Or I can take him off the leash, and if I touch him in a certain way, he knows to go out and make a big sweep and come right back to me. And that's exactly what he'll
make
do.
A report.
Yeah, unless he finds somebody.
Right.
And if he finds somebody, he won't come back, but he won't make any noise. He will stay absolutely still where he's at. And if he's not back within a certain period of time, I know that there's somebody out there and he's watching that person.
Mm.
And that's when it gets a little scary.
Oh, and more especially so for whoever that is.
Yeah, because if he starts to run away, or if he pulls a gun in his hand, or if he makes any real fast move, or sees the dog and tries to hurt the dog will kill him.
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be. I'm thinking I need to get another shepherd and train it all the way.
Well, just make sure you do a real good job.
The
thing about training a dog is you must be absolutely consistent all the time. Nothing can ever vary or change. You can only use the same signals, the same commands. You must reward the dog every time the dog responds positively. There must be some instant, you can't wait 3 minutes. There must be some instant, I can't say punishment, because you don't punish the dog. You just have to let the dog know that what the dog
correction.
Did. Correction is the proper term. You have to correct the dog instantly. If you don't correct him instantly, you're wasting
your time. It won't apply to him.
No, he will not make the connection, and you're wasting your time.
Right.
That's why people who find that the dog ate a chicken and they go beat the dog.
Useless.
They're stupid in the first place. They're cruel to the animal in the second place.
And in third place, eventually they'll ruin the animal. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're ruined to begin with.
Right.
But you just don't do that. Crusher has a special collar that doesn't hurt him at all. And when we first got him from the trainer, he was, you know, he didn't know us. And it took him a while to learn that this was his family.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go there and train with the dog before we ever got the dog and brought him home until he knew this was his family and these were the people he was supposed to protect.
Right.
Well, in the beginning, he didn't want to do what I told him to do because he was attached to the trainer. And eventually, you know, well, in the beginning, he didn't want to do what I told him to do because he was attached to the trainer. And eventually, you know, by using this correction collar, it's a special collar, doesn't hurt him at all, but it gets his attention, let me put it that way. It's not a choke chain. A choke chain is something totally different that you should never use. People use choke chains, you can kill your dog very easily. And if the dog gets loose and that collar or the leash gets caught on something, he can strangle very easily. But if you have a correction collar, that's a special collar made just to train dogs with, and it's not one of these electric collars either. It's just a correction collar. And it will not choke the dog. It will not hurt the dog. But it gets his attention immediately and lets him know that whatever he did was wrong.
Mm.
And, you know, go to a
Are
dog.
Are they available generally?
You can go to any organization or dog trainer or people who handle dogs or train dogs, and they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Have you heard anything with respect to this idea that Clinton mandated that the police dogs be procured from some particular...
Never heard anything about that in my whole life.
It was on... One of the
Clinton does not have the authority to tell police departments where to get their dogs.
Well, unless they were connecting with federal money somehow.
It doesn't make any difference. He does not have the authority to tell police departments where to get their dogs.
Well, I realize he doesn't have any true authority. Whether some people obey it just because they haven't got sense enough to recognize that.
Well, if they do, then they're pretty dumb, aren't they?
I know, but the thing that I'd heard about it was that they had procured a whole bunch of the police dogs that are being used in the United States now from trainers over in Hungary and Czechoslovakia, and that they were trained to obey commands in English and in Czech.
What's the matter with that?
Well, if...
Almost every full-blooded German Shepherd that are the best German Shepherds in the world come from Germany. And when they come here, they will only obey German commands. Did you know that?
I can imagine that would make sense. You know, this particular dog, there was another guy that was German that was at this camp, and he'd taught the dog commands in German, lick to him. That was to lay down, you know, like different commands, and he gave the commands in German. But the idea was that somehow they were going to...
You know, quit listening to Alex Jones. You're gonna get paranoid. Everything that you see in here is gonna be a plot to destroy you. There is a real conspiracy to destroy this government and bring about one world totalitarian socialist government. Okay?
Well, I realize.
But not everybody's involved. The dogs aren't involved. You know, come on, man.
Well, I've read your book, The Pale Horse.
Yeah, you listen to Alex Jones. Did you hear that, Alex Jones?
I don't recall where I heard.
But you do listen to him, though. That's probably where you heard
it. I haven't listened to him for a while, but I work there.
I bet you anything that's where you heard it.
It's conceivable.
Yeah, it's more than conceivable. I'd give it a 99% probability.
Okay.
Listen, I got to let some other people in here.
God bless you now.
You too. 520. Oh, yeah, they're buying police dogs in Czechoslovakia so that... Good evening, you're on the air.
Question.
Sure.
And that has to do with the 17th Amendment.
Yeah.
Were the same people who were responsible for passing the Federal Reserve Act in the 16th Amendment responsible for passing the 17th Amendment since Article 173, it says senators should be chosen by the state legislatures.
Well, that's right. This was set up as a republic with a balance of power. And the senators represented the states, not the people and not the federal government. And they were appointed by the legislatures of each state so that the sovereign states had representation in Congress. Yes, it was definitely a plan to destroy the sovereignty of the states and eventually bring about the dissolution of the jurisdictional bounds between the federal government and the states, which you see happening right now. It's still unconstitutional, but they're doing it. Yeah, absolutely. You better bet your boots it was. Yeah, and the people were so stupid that they all voted for it because they didn't understand what they were doing. They thought, oh, democracy's neat. It'd be much better if we elected our senators. No, the House of Representatives represents the people. The Senate represented the sovereignty of the states.
Article 2, Section 2 says that the Senate ratifies treaties.
Yeah.
So, if you are a world government conspirator,
yeah,
would you not want a popular election of senators?
Yes, that's exactly what they did. That's what I said, yes.
Well,
see, the people are stupid. The states are not. The legislatures are there to protect the sovereignty of the states. They wouldn't let their senator vote and approve a treaty that would be detrimental to the sovereignty of their state and of the United States. But the people, they don't care. They don't know dip. They don't even know what's going on in their own city council.
Well, were the state legislators asleep when they passed the 17th Amendment?
The state legislatures had nothing to do with it. It was voted on by the people. Each state had an election to determine whether they're going to adopt it or not.
Well, I thought the state legislators voted for the amendment.
They do after they have an election of the people.
Huh.
Every time that there is an amendment to the Constitution, it goes to the states. Each state has a popular election to determine whether the people want it.
Another thing I found out is that the Senate confirms the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board.
Yeah.
Now, if the senators were chosen by the state legislatures, wouldn't they balk at that?
I don't know. You have to ask them.
But were the same people, the Cecil Rhodes type people, were they?
Yes, yes, yes. Council on Foreign Relations, absolutely. All the way down the line. You're right.
Hmm. Well, I'll let you go.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. You know, I said all the states have popular. Some states don't. They don't have to, but they usually do. And state legislatures usually do what the people tell them to do because they want to get reelected. But you see, it should never come up for amendment in the first place. And that was a terrible thing. That was one of the major steps toward the destruction of the republic, was taking away the control of the Senate from the legislatures of the states and putting it in the hands of the people. Don't believe me? Go out and talk to people. They're dumber than dirt. Look at what's happened to this country because of the stupidity of the people. You don't like it? Grates on your ears? Makes you angry? Well, then do something about it. Get smart. Stop being stupid. Because it's the truth. If you can't handle the truth, turn off your radio, go get in your bed, pull the covers up over your head, and stay there for the rest of your life. Because the truth is dangerous. It'll hurt your feelings. You know, and today, in this touchy-feely little socialist world, oh, heaven forbid Bill Cooper hurt your little itty-bitty feelings. I have no sympathy. None whatsoever. None. None. None at all. 520-333-4578 is the number. We're going to take your calls for the rest of the broadcast. How about that? You know, that last phone call was nice. It was nice to talk to a young man who knew something about the Constitution. You know, you could spend the rest of your life going from person to person on the street, talking to every young man you meet, never find one, never for the rest of your life in this country. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, God bless you. Hey, any chance you're going to have Dr. Wallach on again sometime?
I have no idea. Probably not. Yeah. Can't even get a hold of the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine he's pretty busy. Hey, have you seen the National Rifle Association infomercial as to gun control in Australia and Great Britain and South Africa and everything else?
No.
Well, it shows over there in Australia where they confiscated, I mean, well, not confiscated, but the people had to turn in all their registered pump shotguns, semi-automatic rifles and shotguns, and then they took a chop saw, and there was one picture with it as a Browning A5 engraved shotgun, and they just cut it in half and threw it in a pile. I mean, and Kofi Annan and the UN want to do that in the United States.
Oh, are you just figuring that out?
Oh, I've known about it. Oh, yes, definitely. I've known about it, you know. I have...
It's not just Kofi Annan and the UN. It's all of these little socialists running around who call themselves Democrats.
Yeah, right.
Democrat means nothing in this country except socialist.
Right.
Marxist, socialist, puke-faced, traitor, pig. That's what they are.
That's what I loved about the movie Red Dawn.
Yeah, and by the way, the Democrats in this country and the people who call themselves liberals are not liberals.
No.
The founding fathers were liberals. I'm a liberal. The most liberal idea in the entire history of the world is freedom.
Exactly.
They don't want freedom. They want big government, more laws. They want to put everybody under their thumb. They want total control.
Exactly.
They're liars is what they are.
And they disarmed people of Great Britain. They made them turn in all the handguns and semi-automatic rifles and everything else. And,
those stupid fools did it, didn't they?
Yeah.
So much for the, you know, Americans. I don't know why Americans look up so much to English people.
I don't know why either.
Go to a cocktail party and watch what happens when somebody walks in with an English accent.
Yeah.
Everybody just right over there. They just think it's the greatest thing in the world. The truth is, it's a nation of fools. They're a third world country now. They're not a first world or first rate country anymore. The empire is long gone. The queen has no power whatsoever.
I know.
They're so far into socialism, it's absolutely pathetic. They don't even have half the freedoms that we have now after we've lost half of our freedoms.
I know.
They do not have the freedom of speech. And their taxes are so high, they actually have a tax bracket that's 110% of what you earn.
Yeah. I work in a hotel in North Carolina here that has a lot of foreign guests. And people come in from England, and I talk to them, and they said, well, you know, it's a damn shame that they disarmed all these people that own handguns in, you know, Great Britain and the rest of it, but they couldn't do anything about it and this and that.
Oh, yeah, you know, let them give that little whine to me, and I'll turn it right back on them.
And,
bullshit.
Well, there's militias in North Carolina, and if you want their guns, you got to take it out of their cold, dead hands.
Yeah, there's militias everywhere today.
Yeah. And according to a fact sheet I got from the NRA, I went to a gun show recently, that a militia, well-regulated, means that it's elected an official in their group to regulate it. And the militia is the people, everybody except a few elected officials.
Let me tell you something. Nobody in this country knew what a militia was or knew anything about militia law or what the proper makeup of a militia was or how a militia should conduct itself until I did those programs and educated everybody right here on the Hour of the Time years ago.
Yeah.
And those tapes are available for anybody that wants them.
Yeah, I'd like to check them out. But people have to be concerned. There's so many sheeple that are all over the place just taking this stuff. In New York City, it's ridiculous.
Don't worry about the sheeple.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the sheeple. Study history and you'll find out what happens to the sheeple.
But if you have a chance, watch the NRA infomercials.
I'm sorry, but I don't go watch television looking for infomercials.
Yeah.
I go looking for specific programs at specific times for a specific reason in my research, or just sometimes to watch a good movie just to get out from under all of this stuff. And if the infomercial comes on at that time, fine. If it doesn't, I'm never going to see it.
Have you watched the movie Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that was fantastic.
It was total bullshit from beginning to end.
Well, my uncle was...
Military organizations do not sacrifice 20 men to save one.
Yeah.
You don't do that. You sacrifice one man to save 20.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
My uncle
was a liberal pile of vomit bullshit. Is what it was. It does not happen. And that captain who led those men out there,
Captain Miller,
and sacrificed all of his men just to save that one man would have been court-martialed.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
He would have lost his commission. He would have gone to prison.
My uncle landed at D-Day and in Omaha Beach.
Yeah. All of that in the movie was absolutely accurate. That was one of the most bloodiest, terrible, there was nothing you could do. He said, watch men die all around you. There was no place to hide. There was no place to go. There was nothing to do. The Germans controlled the high positions. They had the weapons and told the guys could get up the beach under that cliff and then begin taking out those bunkers. They were just dead men.
Yeah. My uncle landed at Omaha Beach and told me about it, and it was, a pretty rough ride.
Probably one of the roughest in military history.
They had to go, take it, And
what you saw in the movie is exactly the way it was.
Oh, that's exactly
totally. They were helpless, and that's the feeling you got when you watched the movie, is that these guys were totally helpless. You definitely did not want to be there.
My uncle told me all about it 30 years ago or more, and he's passed on now, but. The stuff he told me, and I seen in the movie, and I went, wow, that stuff really happened.
Yeah.
It's just something else. But
listen, we're running out of time. I've got to let some other people get in here.
Yeah.
Okay?
But it shows in that movie a lot of military mistakes. Flubar.
Yeah. Biggest,
Flubar,
biggest
all over the place.
Biggest mistake is sending all those guys out of that squad to die for one man. You don't do that.
The mistakes.
Listen, I just told you. I got to let you go. Okay?
Bye-bye.
Come on, guys, take a hint. I want to try to get some more people, call in. Let other people have their say if they want it. If they don't want it, that's fine, too. I got plenty of music here. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air. Sorry for that feedback thing there. I just pumped it up too high.
Quite right. I just have a question regarding your current website.
Yeah.
Could you give it?
WilliamCooper.net.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. WilliamCooper.net.
Gotcha.
The only website you ever need to go to on the whole web. There's no place you can't get to from our website. You're welcome. 520-333-4578. That's right, folks. And pretty soon we're going to have sound. That's right. We're going to have sound and video on the website. I'm in the process of getting that ready now. And I'm almost finished with my second videotape. Oh, by the way, I'd like to hear from somebody who got the free videotape. I want to hear what you think about it. But don't tell anybody what's on it. Just tell me what you think about it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
This is Brian from Cincinnati.
Hi, Brian.
You left out one thing with that you mentioned English. A lot of them came over here, and they're kind of stupid. But don't leave out the Irish. They are always...
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, the Irish came over to fight the English here in our revolution, too.
The Irish came over here to escape starvation.
Yeah, a lot of them came over to fight.
No, they didn't. They came over here to escape starvation. The Irish left Ireland to escape starvation. Irish are very patriotic. They would have never left their homeland if they could have made it there. They were starving. That's why they came here.
At least that brought my relatives here.
Yeah, it did help out a lot. Yeah, and the Irish are good fighters, and I'm damn glad that they came, and I'm damn glad that they're here. But that's not the reason they came here. They came here because they were starving.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wanted to comment about your show last night. I was listening to that, and I kept going over in my mind what you were saying, and it did finally hit me, like how you explained it. You know, the Congress has to write the regulations in order for the income tax, that's why...
First place, they have to create the tax through legislation.
And that's what the federal regulation books are for. They keep two sets of books on us. But they never tell us which sets of books apply. Or they try to think that we should belong to the IRS code. But it's only a regulatory thing that is for the government agency.
Yeah, and no government agency can make law that Congress didn't pass.
Right.
I don't care what they want to write in their regulations. They can write all the regulations they want to implement the law, but if they overstep the law, then it's worthless.
Right.
And if it's not published in the Federal Register, then they're not active anyway, and they don't apply to anybody, period. And they serve.
The only taxpayer defined in there is an officer of a corporation of the United States.
Well, that's not true. There's another taxpayer defined. That is the person who collects the taxes, files the return, and pays the taxes over to the United States Treasury. I know the tax laws backwards and forwards and upside down, or all the regulations. They can't get nothing over on me.
Yeah, I know. It's a sad thing that everybody accepts that I work with a bunch of the sheeple that believe everything that they read in USA Today and the Cincinnati Inquirer.
Those stupid sheeple would just stand up and say no more and hold a gun in their hand when they said it, and that I intend to use this. If you don't back off and get back in your cage, Mr. Taggart, Constitution restricts you, get back behind that line, guess what?
Well, they don't.
Guess what would happen? Guess what would happen? All this crap would stop instantly.
We know that. You know, cause some people with common sense that are awake out here know that, but
don't tell me that about people with common sense awake out there. How many of them are still filing and paying income tax? How many of them drawn the line like I have? How many of them have warrants issued for their arrest? How many of them are willing to stand on their doorstep and die for their arrest? How many of them are on the radio like I am, four nights a week, telling the truth to the world? Don't give me that crap. They're couch potatoes. They're doing nothing. And I won't have any respect for them until they get off their ass and start doing something. They get no respect from me, period. I do not respect cowards. Will not ever respect cowards. They're going to get what they deserve. They're going to be slaves. And then they're going to whine and cry and say, it's all Bill Cooper's fault. He didn't save us.
there's a contingent of people out there that are out just to slander Bill Cooper, and they don't even know who Bill Cooper is.
Hey, that's okay with me. That's fine with me. Just make sure that every time you slander me, you give out the frequency and the website.
Yeah, the Indian proverb about knowing the strength of a man by his enemies or something. You know?
That's right. My grandfather told me that. He says, son, when you die, if you don't have a whole bunch of enemies, you never did anything right.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
And if you did everything right, you'll be lucky if you can count two good friends on your fingers. And he's right. He's absolutely 100% right. Thanks for calling.
All right. God bless you.
520-333-4578. you guys can run me down all you want to. and I'll just keep rubbing the truth in your face until you choke on it. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Chicken plucker. Now, there's a coward. If I ever saw, soon as I hit the button to answer the phone, he heard that click and he hung up. How about that? 520-333-4578. How are you going to fight the New World Order if you can't fight the telephone? Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dave from Wisconsin calling in.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine.
I'm just calling about the fellow that called in about the NRA infomercial.
Uh-huh.
As far as I'm concerned, the NRA is for cowards that need somebody to protect their Second Amendment rights.
That's right. The NRA is not protecting their Second Amendment rights anyway. I said it in my book, and I've been saying it on the airwaves ever since I've been on the air. The NRA is a straw man. They do not protect your rights. They compromise every single time that there's an attack made upon the second article and amendment, and every time they compromise, they give up some of our rights. That's what they're really doing. And not only that, but they were telling people for many years that they never, ever gave away the mailing list. That was a lie. You could buy the NRA mailing list for $75 up until the date that I exposed it on this radio broadcast. For years, all throughout their history, $75 you could have a copy of everybody that belonged to the NRA.
I believe it's just cowards that want somebody to do the fighting for them.
Sure, that's right.
It's up to each individual to protect their Second Amendment rights.
Well, according to the foundation of the law, the individual is the only person who can protect his rights. Nobody else can.
Right, and on the infomercial, they showed all these guns being chopped up in Australia and stuff, and that was just the cowards handing in their guns.
Yeah, and most Australians did not hand in their guns. The guns went underground, and there's a tremendous underground market in guns in Australia now.
Good, I was hoping there were some non-sheeples over there.
Oh, there's a lot of non-sheeples in Australia.
Good, that's why I want to come on.
You ever been to a party with a bunch of Australian dudes? Ain't no cowards in Australia, believe me.
Good, we got some brothers though.
We sure do.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. Well, that's it, folks. We're out of time. Sorry you didn't get your 2 cents in if you wanted to, but we're out of time. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. I miss you. I think about you always. Been listening to the Hour of the Time with yours truly, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America, according to President William Jefferson Clinton. All the rest of them spread rumors, lies, whip you up into a frenzy, hysteria, don't document or source anything. They don't tell you the truth, and they don't lead by example. You'll always see me on the front line with a gun in my hand, leading by example. To recapture Republican constitutional government, to restore freedom in this country, and protect freedom for the whole world, because if we fall, the whole world falls. If you're not willing to do that, then you're going to end up a slave in the New World totalitarian socialist order, and you certainly aren't an American. Everybody in this nation, or hell, even 5% of the people in this nation would follow my example, the war would be over. You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager. Classic radio like you always wished it could be. Stay tuned now for All Oldies most of the time. And it's going to be about a minute, folks, while I change out the CDs.